Park. The Texas 200 has grown as an event. I think it was aimed at being just friends and family virtually at the beginning, informal network creating it, but it's turned into some sort of event with quite a lot of people and huge interest from around the world, because it's a sort of non-competitive event. The event for the rest of us, in effect. So, what do you have planned?
Funny you should ask. The Texas 200 was conceived originally by me to be a way that I could take part in the Everglades Challenge without having to go to Florida. But once I got...
That's always a good aim.
Yeah, Florida's a long way away for me, but I participated 2 times and I just thoroughly enjoyed myself.
I should tell everyone, I'm just about to go to Florida and I'm really looking forward to it. So, don't throw cans just yet.
There's nothing wrong with Florida, it's just so far away, it's so far to drive. It's 2 days drive, or an expensive plane flight. I don't know, it's just... And we have a good venue here.
And the venue is?
The route of the Texas 200, or the... say the bay and estuary system along the Texas coast. There's a whole series of barrier islands which protect the coast, and behind these barrier islands are some really nice sailing areas, large bays and estuaries, and it's just a wonderful place to sail.
Yeah, so that's the intracoastal waterway, is it?
Well, the intracoastal waterway goes through that area, but it's much larger than the ICW. The ICW is just a narrow channel, but these bays extend for miles and miles and miles, and both along the coast and out from the coast, sometimes as much as 10 miles wide, or even some of the bays are even wider than that.
Oh, right. I'd never thought about it like that. I'd always assumed that the ICW was the whole thing, but it's just the commercial shipping way within that system.
That's right.
Oh, okay, cool.
And most of this area is shallow. So the ICW is a dredged channel within that shallow area. So anyway, but when I started talking to people about organizing a competitive event like the Everglades Challenge, a majority of people said, no, don't do that. Just make it more of a fun event. Take the competition out of it and just make it just like a group cruise, which I did. I was fine. I wanted to do what people wanted to do, and it sounded like fun to me anyway.
Yeah. So how do you keep it as a group cruise? What are the structural or non-structural things that keep it in that format, stop it from becoming competitive?
The environment itself is the big issue. The environment is harsh and at the same time friendly. I say harsh because the wind blows really hard, and you might think, oh, that's good because you want wind to sail, but it blows really hard. Typically, both years that we've had the event, we've had winds in excess of 35 miles per hour, which is a lot of wind when you're in a little sailboat.
Do you mean that it came through on one day at 35 miles an hour?
Yep.
Or do you mean that there was a lot of wind consistently?
Well, both. It didn't blow 35 miles an hour every day, but probably more days than not.
Really? So yep. That makes it a tough event.
It's tough in that way.
Particularly for the little boats.
This year, there was a group who were going to have a race within the Texas 200, and they said to themselves, okay, we're going to meet at this certain point along the route, and we're all going to stop and then start there together and race for 10 miles or whatever it was. Nobody ever stopped there because they were so busy just trying to survive the conditions that it just completely escaped their mind. So it's even though there have been efforts to make it more competitive, it just hasn't happened so far.
Right. And also, I guess the waterway itself tends to divide people up into different groups with boats of different capabilities. Some are better at open water, some are better at shallow water. Also, the wind just drives everything, so people have to choose a course to survive. But survival is not a real risk, it's sort of a perceived risk, isn't it?
Surviving the event is a real risk. Surviving with getting out with your life is pretty much more conceived, because the water is warm and it's fairly shallow. So even though the sun is hot and you'll be uncomfortable, it's really not life-threatening in the way that it could be. So hypothermia is really out of the question, and there's no pirates, so or native Indians along the shore. So the occasional
unfriendly native American.
Outside of the occasional rattlesnake or alligator, then it's really not that dangerous.
Yeah, I guess the main concern is people have enough water.
That is the main concern, that they stay out of the sun largely. But that's just a matter of covering up and using common sense.
Yeah.
So is the event transforming?
I don't think it's transforming. The Texas 200 event itself. What I've decided to do though is separate the event into two different. What is this guy doing? Into two different sub-events, I guess you might say. I'm going to call the traditional Texas 200, I'm going to call the Texas 200 Sleigh Ride, and organize a new event called the Easter Egg Hunt, which is a much more competitive event. What we're going to do is set up a series of waypoints, and the waypoints will be scattered out among these different bays and estuaries, and we'll gather at one point at Magnolia Beach, and we'll sail out, all the different boats will sail out over about a 30-hour period, about a day and a half over a long weekend, and log as many of these waypoints as possible, and then return before the deadline.
So competitive gliding has an event called the Cat's Cradle, which is distanced within the defined area, almost, and you have a number of points which you can choose to go to, but you can choose them to maximize the distance. But in this case, you'll be maximizing the number of points being visited.
And possibly some of the points will have greater values than other points. So in other words, you have to pick which points you think you're most able to log and which will give you the greatest value for your type of boat. So in other words, a big deep boat would have to be limited to deep water, but would be faster, and it would have to pick up those kind of waypoints that are easier for it. Whereas like a paddle boat, a canoe or a kayak could get into shallow areas and log possibly more valuable points, even though it's a slower boat. And the idea is to attempt to sort of even out the playing field somewhat.
Yeah, but canoes and kayaks are rather devastating upwind.
Oh, on the contrary. They can sometimes pass sailboats having to tack.
Yeah, exactly.
Standing upwind. Oh, you mean they have the advantage?
Yeah, they have the advantage.
Devastating, not devastated.
Yeah.
But paddlers wear out, and whereas sailors don't have to expend that much energy in over a 30-hour period.
Yeah, good point.
They may have the advantage there, but there'll still be different, we'll have different divisions. In other words, there'll be a sailboat division, then paddleboat division, rowboat division. So.
And an overall division for the person who wants to walk away with the biggest head.
Yeah, you should enter that, Michael.
Yeah, that'll suit me, I want that to be there. So if that's starting from Magnolia Beach, that means a traditional Texas 200 runs first. Everyone gets to Magnolia Beach after sailing 200 miles, and then the second event kicks off.
No, it'll be in the spring, at Easter.
Oh, so a separate time altogether?
Different time altogether.
Oh, okay, so everyone can come to both.
Yeah, but at the end of the Texas 200, everybody is just too tired. Everybody's had a week of sailing, being blown away by the wind, and eating sand, and salt water in their eyes, and they're ready to go home, which is reasonable.
Yeah.
Here's the difference is going to be in the spring at Easter time. The weather is much cooler. The wind is not strictly out of the south. It can come from any direction. and probably will. There'll be periods of calm, periods of high wind, a much different weather pattern than during the sleigh ride.
Right, and it's got an advantage compared to all the other sort of more competitive raid events that you never really get that far from your starting point. So the big hassle of getting buses and trailers and all of those things from one point to another, plus the problem that if you want to pull out at some time, you're in an isolated bit of coast away from everyone and you've got to organise things from scratch, all those problems just disappear.
Well, it's still isolated. It's still isolated coast, and the waypoints will be scattered out up to as much as 50 miles up the coast, and then 50 miles down the coast. So
those ones will have to be high value.
Yeah, no doubt. And if you were to go up the coast 50 miles, then back down and back, and then to the other end 50 miles and back, you will have covered 200 miles. So thus it still fits under the Texas 200 sort of canopy.
Oh, okay. So this will run every year, and also the traditional Texas 200 will run every year. Plus, you'll have the boat show. What are you thinking?
What the hell am I thinking? I must be crazy.
Yeah, but the other events have worked really well, and I think they're smart because even though there's quite a lot of organisation in some senses, everyone takes care of themselves really well. So that means that there's a lot of organisation you don't have to do as well. Whereas something that is purely competitive, you tend to have to have a lot of infrastructure to make it work.
Yeah, the way the Texas 200 works is it's like a club. It's like a boat club where a bunch of guys and gals decide, well, we're going to go sailing. And that's what it is. There's no money, there's no profit being made. There's the only money that changes hands are merely for expenses. And for the Easter egg hunt, there won't be any except that I think we will have an awards dinner immediately after the end of the thing. And
everyone will be falling asleep, of course.
Probably. No, they'll be hungry. Here's the key for the Easter egg hunt is the way that you'll log the waypoints is with a spot personal messenger or some other type of device, one of the electronic devices that's used for logging.
Oh, okay. So that I know the spots cost less than $100. You press the button and it reports into a website.
Yep.
And you can actually manipulate the website to get a spot on Google Earth or another map.
Yep. And we have a website that we're developing just for this purpose. And what it'll do is not only show where everybody's logged waypoints, it'll keep a score and tell what score they got based on how close to the waypoint they were when they logged it. So a little bit farther away, you get fewer points. And it'll add up the total scores. And when the last person sails up onto the Magnolia Beach, we'll know who the winner was.
And also everyone who's interested in watching the event on the net gets a progressive picture of what's doing. They can get some idea of strategy, and they'll be able to see the lines connecting all the marked points, showing where people have actually gone and the decisions.
Yep, that's exactly right. So it should be a pretty good spectator sport, shall we? Because you will be able to see. You'll be able to see exactly where each competitor has been, exactly how many points they've racked up, what other waypoints are in their the direction that they're heading.
It sounds really cool that people will be able to sit around in armchairs around the world and second-guess strategies and think, why is Chuck going that way?
Right.
He could make more points if he turns around and goes to the left a bit.
Then all they have to do is look at the weather report and see that the wind is due to change in another 3 hours, and Chuck was really smart because he's going to take the trailing wind he's got, hit that waypoint downwind, and then when the wind turns around, he's going to blow back down to this other high-value waypoint.
Well, it just goes to show that Chuck is smarter than the average bear.
Right. Now, it remains to be seen whether Chuck will even be able to participate. I just don't know yet how much support is going to be required. The idea was to make it pretty much self-supporting so that everybody knew just what to do. The computers take care of all the logging and all the waypoints, and that everybody could participate.
Oh, right. So this is sort of the way we run our businesses, too.
Yeah, exactly. Take full advantage of the computers.
Yeah, and try to make as much happen automatically as possible. And where it won't happen automatically, you try to farm it out to someone else.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck. Gee, does this mean I have to get to America again?
Yeah, for that.
That was Chuck and me talking on the way to Lake Conroe.